Father, again, we come to you and we thank you for the freshness of this day in life. The Lord, time is something you give us. Money can't buy it. It's a gift of God every day. It's the grace of God that we can see the sunrise and see it go down. And so we pray that this would be a great day on the Lord's day to be in the house of God. We come in the image of God. We have the ability to learn. Yes, we can learn about you. Holy Spirit of God has been given to this world and lives in individual Christians for that purpose, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and to draw the unsaved to the Lamb of God. And I pray this would be a lighthouse. If there's anyone anywhere, dear Lord, it would be the message that God would have out for the unsaved and the message to help those who know Jesus as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bible and turn first of all to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you noticed this or not. It's got a little bit of ring, brother. Notice this or not. But there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding today when it comes to things in this life. Did you know that? It seems like people are more misunderstanding each other today than ever before. I think it's because maybe one reason we're living so fast, we don't have time to listen. And secondly, while we're listening, we're trying to anticipate what's been said and got the answer before they finish. And so we're really kind of trying to take advantage of something before we even know what we should be taking advantage of. So there seems to be a misunderstanding today about many things. As one thing I know, in that misunderstanding, there is a mass misunderstanding about what God has said in this book, the Bible. And we see that in the historic or in the atmosphere or different places in society in our particular day. I read where there was a man in Texas. He was going to go to Canada, and he went to the airline place to get a ticket. And he said, "I want to get a ticket to go to Canada." And the lady at the ticket said, "Would you like to go by Buffalo?" He said, "What?" He said, "Would you like to go by Buffalo?" He said, "If you give me a good saddle, I'd be glad to, but I'd rather ride a plane." Amen. It's just a matter of misunderstanding. One dad was teaching his son some things in the Bible. One day in a family altar, the son asked the dad, said, "Dad, could you explain to me what a Christian really is?" His dad said, "I'd be glad to, son." He took the Bible down and said, "Let me just read it to you out of the Word of God." He began to read in the Word of God different places about what a Christian would be. And his son stopped him. He said, "Dad, you know, I don't believe I've ever seen such a Christian as that. You know, we're failing to manifest to this world what true Christianity means, aren't we? What I'm saying to you, I want you to look with me this morning on something very important, because it's so important the world never see it, and God tells us why they'll not see it, but you should see it, and you should understand, and that's about the Holy Spirit of God. Look with me in John chapter 3, verse 27. John is given his testimony, John the Baptist. And we have the Gospel of John the Apostle, given the testimony of John the Baptist here in these few verses. And we get down, and it comes to John, and they said to him, some of the people questioned, the Jews questioned it as his disciples, John's disciples, and some of the people that were there were having some debate between each other. And he said in verse 26, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men come to him." You know, when you was over there in Jordan, John, this man Christ came, and you baptized him. He said, he's doing more than you are. He more following him than you. Satan's always trying to cause controversy when it comes to what God is doing or not doing. And then John answered and said in verse 27, now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. You need to watch this. Don't let this shoot you a curve. Believe what God has said. He says, listen, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Did you see what just said? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And then he said if you look down in verse 28, he said, "Ye yourself bear with me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." You misunderstand. If you're trying to compare me to get upset at what Christ is doing over me, you misunderstand who I am. God has sent me to bear witness of this man. And then he says in verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And notice, he said, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice. He said, this is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. In other words, he said, he's the bridegroom. And the only thing that really matters in a wedding anyhow is the bride and the bridegroom. And when the friend of the bride is there, he just rejoices to hear the bridegroom's voice. In other words, he said, you verify what I have been preaching. I've been preaching about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, no man can receive anything from heaven except it be him that received it. He says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Listen to me carefully. The Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit reveals is who I'm going to be preaching about. Not the Jesus Christ of this world. The Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit reveals. Now turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. Over just a few verses, two pages, and let's see what Jesus said, for he left, about Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a thing today that people know who God is and know who Jesus is. And by the way, and they even talk about Jesus not as a historical person, but never as a divine person. Notice in verse 16, he said, and Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, and he probably take me this message to get just the introduction. He said, I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Notice Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and watch what he's going to do. He's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, I'm your comforter now. You come to me with all the problems, see all the things, but I'm leaving. And he's going to send another comforter. Now, watch. Even the Spirit of truth. Who is this comforter? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, keep that in mind. The Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. In other words, the world, the cosmos of his own, can't receive it on its own energy. It's not the way they say they believe about God. It's the way God says they have to believe about God. And he goes on and he says, watch. And he said, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. Now, I'm not going to leave you comforters. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that time ye shall know that I am the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, he said to these disciples. But the Comforter, now watch, before he says the Spirit of truth, now he gives him his name, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Who are we talking about? The Spirit of God. Who are we talking about? The Holy Spirit. He is the Comforter. And watch what he says, whom the Father will send in my name. Now he's letting them know this is who the Father is going to send to be a comfort to the people on this earth that's in this cosmos, this world. And he said, he shall teach you, watch, he, that is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things. You see that? All things. And he's talking mainly here about the things of God. Not the way man teaches, but the way God teaches it. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said he's going to teach you all things. And to the disciples, he said, listen, you're going to come a time and later that God's going to bring something to your remembrance that I've said you didn't even understand now. But you're going to bring a remembrance to you later, and that Holy Ghost that I'm telling you that's coming to take my place until I come back, he's going to teach you all things. And look with me, if you will, over in chapter 16. He picks it up again in verse 7. And he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Well, wouldn't he do nothing but tell them the truth? He's the Son of God. By the way, he is the truth, according to what John 14 says. And he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now watch. He said, it's necessary for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not. Who is not coming then if he don't go away? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Who is the Comfort? Pump me up a little bit now. Don't go to sleep on it. You'll miss something that's going to be a blessing. And you'll understand why the world will hate us, because the world don't want the Holy Spirit to do with anything that God has to do, because they got it all in the basket themselves. Watch what he says. And he says, but he said, and comfort will not come. He said,
He said, "But if I not go away, the comfort will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, interesting. Someone said, whoa, hold it right there. Preacher already said the Father's going to send it. Now he says he's going to send it. Can they get together? Hey, you've got to understand this. Jesus Christ is one that's coming. Whether he says, I'm going to come myself or the Father sent, makes no difference. They're God. They're speaking in the interchange of each other. And one thing the Holy Spirit helps us to understand, if God said something or Christ said something, by the way, the world has trouble with understanding that Christ is the author of all creation. The Bible gives that all to showing that he's God. Why would God show that? He's shown us that Christ is God himself incarnated in the flesh, and yet he's the Son of God, equal with God. By the way, I would expect that, God to have a son equal with God, he'd be the same as God. I'm looking at you this morning, I see your body, but wait a minute, you got a spirit and soul in that body, and I can't see it. Don't make me think the spirit and soul is not there. If not, you'd be laying horizontal on the pool here somewhere in a pew. Amen? You're a tri-being too, you know that? You know, you got up this morning not because your body had life in it except what you were in that body. You have a soul, you have a spirit, and you are in a body. Now, I don't see your soul and I don't see your spirit, but I see you, and that means to tell me your soul and spirit's alive right now. If not, we'd be burying you instead of preaching to you. Now, that gets, hey, when I get to that point, it helps me understand. Hey, what I don't understand about God, I understand enough to know who he is and what's happening. And he goes on. And he said, if you look down, let's see, what did I get to? I got to verse 8. He said, and when he come, he will prove you the world. Watch, the three things. Reprove the world of sin, reprove the world of righteousness, reprove the world of judgment. That is, he's going to rebuke and convict the world. What is the world? The cosmos, those in the world system. He said, I'm going to convict them, I'm going to rebuke them. And he said, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then he defines that, of sin, he said, because they believe not on me. In other words, the fact that I'm here proves I'm who I am. And if they don't believe on me, then I am convicting them, I am reproving them, I am rebuking them because they refuse to accept me as who God says I am and as who I say I am, as the Son of God. And then he says of righteousness, watch. He says of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The fact that I am righteous is because I'm going back to the Father and you never see me unless you have the righteousness I have. And you can't have that in your own energy. You have to have it when I give it to you because God accepts my righteousness in heaven, not our righteousness in this earth, which he calls like filthy rags in the book of Isaiah. So it helps me understand I got to have something more than what I can muster up here. And then he said of sin because they believe not on me. Now watch in verse 13. Then he said of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, first of all. He said that he rebukes them of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because of my Father, you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. How be it? I've got a lot to say, but you can't bear it right now. How be it? Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine if Jesus had a lot to say to these apostles that they couldn't bear right then? Can you imagine the world? That's the reason they can't bear anything God has to save until they come to know Christ as Savior. Because they think everything God says through his word is foolish. And that's what 1 Corinthians is Paul's writing to the church of Corinth about. And then he goes on. He said, howbeit, when he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, this will help you as a Christian. You know what? There's a lot of folks think they're saved, just not saved. And they're going to, if the rapture take place right now, they'd miss going to heaven because they got everything centered around man rather than around Jesus Christ. And watch. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Watch this. When that Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to come speaking of himself. He's not going to build himself up in any form or fashion. When he comes, he says he's going to speak, watch, what he speaks, whatsoever he speaks, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, on the day of Pentecost, we know that he came. We see that in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came. We see how he came. Now, he said, when he comes, he's going to hear what he's heard of me. He's going to speak about me. And watch verse 14. He says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's not going to be the subject. He's going to talk about me, who is the subject. He's going to reveal to you who I am, so you will be able to know how to have a relationship with God. Holy Spirit's going to come. God's not going to leave you comfortless. He's not going to leave you here by yourself. When I ascend, He's going to descend. And in Acts chapter 2, we see Him coming back to this earth. And He said, "What?" In verse 15, "All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore say I that He shall take of mine and shall show it to you." Isn't that wonderful? He said, "Listen, everything that God has is mine as an heir of God. And everything that God has is mine. He's going to show it to you, because you can be part of that if you listen to what God the Holy Spirit says." Now, God the Holy Spirit is not just going to give it to you in some unusual, individual, hidden way. It's going to be documented in this book. The Holy Spirit's going to, this time, hadn't written the whole the Bible. It's coming later, and God's going to inspire His Word to be written in a book, and the Holy Spirit's going to come in this earth to use the gospel to draw people to the Lamb of God, and then to use His presence in individuals who receive Christ as Savior, gets His Holy Spirit, which in turn will teach him the things about me. And as you start out in a baby pen as a child of God, you will grow in grace and knowledge. You need the milk of the Word. That's what the Bible describes that. And then you'll need the meat of the Word to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak this morning that the Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit revealed, I want to reveal it again to our hearts. So I already know Him. If you're saved, thank God for that. But you know why you know Him? It's because the Holy Spirit of God is telling you who He is. If not, someone will lead you astray. Give an example. You hear O'Reilly this past week? I'm sure you look at Fox News. I'm looking and tell you that. He wrote the book, Killings of Jesus. And he was saying he wrote another book, Ascension of That, which is for children. It's Killing of Jesus, but it's written for public school. He said this book can be shown as a history book in public schools. And he's hoping to get into public schools of the killing of Jesus. And someone asked him, said, "Well, now, wait a minute. When you talk about killing of Jesus, you got to have more into it than just the historical record." He said, "No, this is only the historical record of Jesus Christ." He said, "First of all, I don't use the word Christ, name Christ. I use Jesus only, because Jesus has to do with the historical record." And he said, "I don't use Christ simply because that kind of brings you in, it's not used due to the resurrection, and resurrection is really not proven anyhow. Why write a book about Jesus Christ if you can't include the resurrection?" You see what's happening, folks? Everything is getting turned around where the Holy Spirit's been completely set aside. And listen, if a man can tell that you can trust Jesus Christ as Savior and go to heaven without the instruction of who He is by the Holy Spirit of God, then we're all miserable. Because that'd be the case, anybody, anywhere, anyone on this planet could go to heaven one day. I want to tell you something. Nobody going to heaven except those who trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't care what the world does. I don't care how far it gets. I don't care if God has a end of the age, have just two or three on the earth that say, that no matter what the public and the majority says, there's no way to get to where God's at except through the Lamb of God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I look at that, a fallen human being by nature does not have the ability to comprehend and understand the things of God, about God Himself, about God's Son, nor about the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit's help. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, "For I leave, won't you know, disciples, He's coming, and He's going to teach you things about Me." That means that this book is inspired. He's inspiring things about Jesus. Even the Old Testament is showing how He's going to come through what God is doing to deal with man to redeem him back in himself. This book is a book of redemption, not history. And yet it's accurate in any historical thing that it says. So we're missing out. We're belittling it. We're trying our best to destroy it. I've said human age, the cosmos is. And so this help comes by the Holy Spirit of God. Lost human beings do not have the ability to apprehend divine things by themselves. We'll mess it up every time. We have to have someone to teach us, and I'm glad He said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things if you really want to know the truth. Lost human beings, ladies and gentlemen, don't have that ability. Spiritual things are hidden by a veil and by the fallen nature of you and me as human beings in God's image. Lost human beings stand before all the information about God, all the information that's given in a knowledge about God, but they cannot find the gate, they cannot find the door to enter in for that understanding without the Holy Spirit of God. He's got to be behind the gospel. That's the reason I learned now and give the gospel out. Man, don't trust the Lord. I try my best to get into it. A lady don't trust the Lord. I try my best. But I leave, and that gospel is like our brother said this morning, read from this book. You better believe the Holy Spirit's there when I'm gone. Amen. And it's up to him to see that one gets saved or doesn't get saved. And so he stands before this information, but he has no way. He can't find the gate of the door because Jesus Christ is the door. And you're going to go through him to get to heaven, or no one's going to go to heaven. Folks, I don't know what's wrong with our age. I don't want to hear that. When I was a boy, that's all you heard. I don't care if you listened to a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Free Will Baptist. What? They were preaching. You wouldn't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. But if you're hearing today, that's not true. A lot of folks are saying. Yes, it is true. It has not changed. Jesus still says, he said in John, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So he stands there. And then in spiritual darkness, fallen man has intellect and knowledge about God, but he don't have the knowledge of God. There's the difference. And there is a difference. There's a difference in having intellectual knowledge about God or having the knowledge of God. You see, the Holy Spirit would give intellectual ability to know about God, but he's leading to so he can show you who God really is. Everything else people are looking at is looking to make the God what they want him to be. And you go across this world and you got false gods everywhere because man is making God in his mind. God has made man in his image, and now man is trying to make God in man's image. And that's what we're having. And it don't matter. You say, well, we're not going as bad as hard as some of the jungle somewhere or another. And I got told them, no, but we got things in America that's coming God. And Satan has blindfolded so we can't see those things. It's literally leading us away from God rather than closer to God. And so he tells us much about the Holy Spirit. You see, one is the intellectual knowledge about God, even if man makes his own God. The other is the Spirit-revealed knowledge of God. And there's 2 points, and these 2 points are very long. Amen. Number one, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please. God Almighty has given us revelation about his Son. Now, we know he was here, but do you know there's a lot of folks who agree that Christ historically was here as Jesus, but he's still not the Son of God. They agree that Christ was historically here as Jesus, but they don't believe he's the way of life. They believe that anybody else's religion towards God is just as great as Christianity is because this great God has given us all a different environment, different places we're in, and the way we're brought up to believe about God is the way that they get to him. Listen, isn't it an amazing thing? God wouldn't even be a good God if he had different standards for everybody. He wouldn't even be a righteous God to have different standards for everybody. I mean, a person can go to, you know, over to Amazon or another and give a child to a crocodile and think that's a God and go to heaven. Well, you and I wouldn't go. It wouldn't be right for them to have to give their child a crocodile to go to heaven and us just trust Christ as Savior if that's the way you could go too. I'm glad God uses something that's right, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a great help for us in this life as we look at it. And first he said, verse 11 and 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And understand that. You and I are an image of God. We have a spirit. We have knowledge that's gained through different means of learning, and you and I converse with each other spirit to spirit. We can converse. We can agree, disagree. We can fight each other as far as the human race is concerned, nation against nation, sometimes neighbor against neighbor. Just amazing. I got a call this past week on something someone asked me a question about. I just can't imagine. I don't want to get into that, but I'm just saying there's problems everywhere just about, and you find that that's man communicating with man. But watch what he says in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. In other words, we have the spirit that God gave us, but we don't have that now. In other words, we got something better than that. And he says in this verse, but the spirit which is of God. We think different now. Why? We're not like the world. If so, then we're dishonoring God who saved us. He said, we think different now. We have a spirit of God. And watch what he says, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Who are those that don't know? Those who only have the spirit of man and can converse with man but know nothing about God except what is made in his own mind. But what about those who are saved? He said, we have the spirit of God. We see things differently. To disregard this truth is to shut out spiritual things for our understanding. The Holy Spirit is the agency by which we get divine things through God's written word as he speaks to our heart through this book, God, the Holy Bible. The human spirit is dead due to sins disconnecting us from God. That's the reason he said in chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man, when he finishes this course down, a few verses about telling us where our wisdom comes from and our relationship to God, he said, wait a minute, but, listen to me, but the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. Listen, kindergarten can read that thing, read it all. What's he saying? He said the natural man, the psychic man, the man of the mind, the man of the intellect, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are, there it is, spiritually discerned. How do we get that spiritual discerning? By the Holy Spirit of God, who quickens our spirit and makes us alive unto God in the new birth, which in turn gives us access to information to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord to show the world who Jesus Christ is. But even though we're sometimes in human beings, kind of don't give a good display about who he is. In John chapter 16, and verse 12 through 14, again, we read those verses. And you remember what, in John 16, what Jesus said? You find that verse again. In 16, he said, in down to 12 through 14, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How about then? He said, the Spirit of truth had come. He shall guide you to all things, for he shall speak of myself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you all things. If you look with me again in 1 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Notice, Paul makes it very plain what Jesus was saying here in 9 and 10. He said, but is it written, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither in the heart of man the things of God which is prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, not the cosmos, but to us. Who are the us? The church at Corinth, the Corinth church, for they were born again Christian. He's revealed that to us, he says, by his Spirit. That's what his Spirit is doing. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit has to reveal these things, not fallen man's intellect. Fallen man's intellect is leading people further from God rather than towards God. Now our minds, wait a minute, our minds are very important when it has to do with our intellect. I'm glad I know how to drive a car, don't you? I'm glad that I know a little bit about taking care of my body. Amen? I'm glad God lets me understand what deodorant does. Amen? Aren't you? By the way, you are too, aren't you? If you're sitting by someone not using it, they wish you'd get some, I guarantee you. What I'm saying, I'm glad God gave me some ability that I know what to do in life. But when it comes to the things of God, my intellect itself will not do it. I have the capability, but I've got to have a higher power than humanity. It's got to be the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus said before he left. He's going to take what he knows about me, everything about me. If you want to know it, he'll reveal it to you. But it starts at Calvary. You can't bypass Calvary and get the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to come through Calvary to do that. And God sets forth this wonderful truth about himself. That work that has to do with intellect is not apprehending divine things without the Holy Spirit's revelation. He has to do that. Without the Holy Spirit's illumination, all the Bible studies that one gets with all those big words do not do a thing but make someone think that they're smart. But it won't lead them to heaven. It takes the Holy Spirit taking what's said to lead someone to the Lamb of God. Only inward enlightenment by the Holy Spirit can remove the human veil. So here, it's the Holy Spirit that inspired the Bible to be written. And here we get the revelation of Jesus Christ, or at least we have the potential to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Either in the gospel, as the Holy Spirit brings the gospel to an unsaved heart, and it brings conviction, and they finally say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong, and they trust Christ as Savior, and then the Holy Spirit moves in. We'll see that in just 2 minutes. Second thing quickly, it is the Holy Spirit that does the work in fallen man, in his heart, and not educated peoples of eyes. Now, I'm glad we live in an educated world. You know, you rode to court, as I said before many times, you rode to church this morning in a car, not a mule wagon, because somebody got educated. You're going to go eat some food today that you won't have to cook. And if you did have to cook, you can cook it better than your grandma and grandpa did, because they don't have to go out and cut wood to do it. You see, technology has come a long ways to help us be blessed in this life. Man only makes proselytes out of people, but the Holy Spirit does a great work of grace so Jesus Christ can save those who believe in Him. Amen? I think about this. Years ago, Aubrey Green was in a tent meeting in the city down south. Had a great meeting. About midweek, the meeting, the fella came down there, trusted the Lord, and said he got saved. The meeting went about 2 weeks. Next week, one day, the following week, Brother Green was downtown somewhere or another, always eating or something. He saw this fella coming too, and you could tell he wasn't normal. He was about 75% in the wind. That means he was about drunk. And he came up, he saw Brother Green, he saw him, walked up to him, he said, "Brother Green, you saved me last week in your meeting." And Dr. Green said, "I sure must have. You're sure that God didn't do it, amen." That alcohol, he said, he could smell him a block away of alcohol. Isn't it an amazing thing? People who drink think can't smell. Good gracious, you smell. If you don't drink, you can smell. By the way, if you don't smoke, you can smell someone who smokes. You hear, you can smell them. Why? Listen, I'm glad that God helped me get over smoking, because I didn't realize I smelled as bad as I did when I smoked years ago. You know, you have to quit smoking to understand how bad you smell. Now, somebody's going to get mad at me because I mentioned that. I've got nobody in my mind at all. I don't know who smokes or don't smoke. And I'm telling you that God gives us ability sometimes, or who drinks or don't drink. Doesn't make any difference to me. That's between you and God. I know this. God says some things about some things we need to look at. But what I'm saying is this. The Holy Spirit does the work in us, not man's education. And no, sir. I know all about a dog, but I can never know a dog personally. I know we think we can. We can't, ladies and gentlemen. I have no way to get into a dog's world. By the way, a dog can't know me personally either. Now, he know about me. He know when I'm glad. He know when I'm angry. He knows, you know, if I pet him or scold him one way. He knows one way he don't like one way, and one way he does like. He got the instinct that, by the way, we may have instinct to some degree, but we got more than instinct. We've got knowledge. We can make decisions. We can evaluate things as far as life is concerned, you see. So when neither a dog nor a human being has the capacity to apprehend or understand each other in their own world, there's no way we can. Because we are, whether you realize or not, higher than the animals. God gave us the ability to understand we're made in His image. And so when I think about it, no way in the possible, there's no way in the world I can get into a dog's world and understand it. I can bark like a dog, but don't make no sound like it. I can still bark if I want to, but I can't get in there. I will have no idea what it is to bark after a rabbit. There's no way I can ever really understand that. You know that? I have no idea how a dog points for a bird. I can point, but I don't have the scent that a dog does. It's entirely different. What I'm saying to you, you understand you can't get into that world, that though you may have a relationship in His world and our world, though they might be in the same cosmos. But I'll tell you this, when you talk about this type of thing, it is the same about God and the human being. So without the Holy Spirit, the new birth, there is no understanding about spiritual things. They're foolish unto Him. That's what God is telling us. Without the new birth, there is no understanding about the true and living God, because everything said about Him is foolish when you get down to those things that really count to be in a relationship with Him. People like to talk about God to do these great things and giving us things, but when it comes to a relationship with Him, they think that's foolish. They think we're literally foolish to believe in a person who shed His blood and we can be washing that blood which we've never seen. But you can. Amen. You can. Neither can a dog or any other animal really have a relationship with you and I. Paul had been called one of the six most intelligent men that ever lived. You don't go to philosophy to find out about Jesus Christ. You will never know and ever be able to piece Jesus Christ together outside, out of a historical knowledge about Him. You're going to have to know Him. There's more to Him than just history. By the way, there's a lot of history, and I've got some books written of history of Jesus Christ coming up about something he did that they cannot prove. One place he made a fellow fall off a roof one time because he got upset with him as a young boy. Another place he made some clay pigeons fly. I mean, you can talk about historical all you want to, but only the Bible has accurate record about who Jesus Christ really is. And God gives it to us in our heart. If you can be reasoned, you heard me say many times, if you can be reasoned into Christianity by man, you can be reasoned out of it by man. And so we must understand that Christianity may start in our heads because of knowledge of the Holy Spirit drawn us to him, but ladies and gentlemen, he must end up in our heart convinced by the Holy Spirit. Here, there is not much that philosophy can do for a human being before God. Now, it'd do much between you and I. You can teach me things I can't teach you. I hope I can teach you some things you can't teach me as far as this world is concerned. But it's the Holy Spirit has to teach us all about God. And that's what Jesus is telling. Then you wonder why we exalt him here like we do. Things that science can can investigate are not divine. But they deal with matter of God's creation only. Science cannot investigate divine things. God can't be searched out and attached to. Only thing you can do is search things out that God has made in matter. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, things that science can investigate are not divine. Things that science cannot investigate are divine because that's in the spiritual world. And so science can do a lot of wonderful things, but it can never know anything about God just with man's intellectual knowledge alone. Man alone comes up with a false God without help from the Holy Spirit of God. So therefore, a man who tries to serve and come to the living God without the Holy Spirit leading to Jesus Christ and go through the door of Jesus Christ will never know who the true and living God is. So fallen man runs to science for his answers, but the child of God, the believer, runs to God and his word for his answers. In other words, literally, we believe in God over science when science denies God. Amen. It's simple as that. Christianity stands and falls on Jesus Christ. He is not just a historical figure like Washington or Lincoln or Jefferson. He's more than that. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's more than Washington. Though he was a great man. That's more than Lincoln. Peter in Acts 20:36, I'm closing, said, "Therefore," and I quote, "let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And God has given the believer in Christ the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and I quote, "the love of God is shown abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8, in the latter part of that verse said, "But God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit," us speaking to the person who believes in Christ as the personal Savior, speaking to the child of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." We also know that he tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, down about verse 13, he said, "In whom also after that you heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, I love that. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. "Then in whom after that we believe," speaking of those who did trust Christ, "we that believe," not those who say they profess him, but those who possess him, he said, "ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." In other words, if you go down to Romans 10:9-10, it shows you how that those that believe are, that were sealed. It tells you that. Then he said in verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." I love that. You who trust him, and not professed him, but trust him, possessed him, he's sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And then he says he gives you the understanding. Why? Because he gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Word and the Holy Spirit. "And that God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward," who? Those believe, not the cosmos of the world, those who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, whom he raised from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places. It's a process that he's setting from the day you trust Christ. You became a child of God. You received the Holy Spirit. You were sealed. Then he gives you this wisdom of understanding of words in the Word of God. He gives you the understanding about what's going to take place. The Christ that you trust in becomes the Christ that the Holy Spirit of God reveals. And he tells us that over and over. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "And put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge, in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Why is that? Because he's given you the Holy Spirit to do these things he said in Ephesus. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, "Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Godly knowledge comes from within by the Holy Spirit. He said the world can't see it because they're looking at a kingdom as far as the world is concerned, but my kingdom's in you. Holy Spirit come to reveal in you. The only thing the world can see, the spiritualness of the church, is when you and I leave this place and how we live. He lives within us at this time. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God." God's Holy Spirit reveals this to you and I who are saved. Matthew 16, again, you remember what Jesus asked those apostles. He said, "Men, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter answered and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then I want you to look at me in verse 17, my last verse, and we're going home. But look in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. I love this. Because when Peter asked that, I want you to see this with your eyes. In verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed be thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Watch this. Everything about man's intellect, everything to do about flesh and blood that goes on in this body, know what you can reason up, no matter how you may have a perfect IQ, but you cannot understand these things about God. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter. He says again, "Blessed thou art Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, Jesus tells us when he left, he sent in the Holy Spirit that's going to do the same thing that the Father Jesus is talking about here. He's going to reveal who Jesus Christ is to you and I to get us saved. And then when you trust Christ, all you need is to trust the record that God gave his Son, according to 1 John 5. Then after you trust Christ, he's going to reveal to you by his Spirit what's in this book about your life before living God. The Christ that the Holy Spirit reveals. That's the only Christ I'm concerned about. I'm sorry. If the church down the street got another one, go. But the Jesus Christ of this Bible, that Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come to reveal, is the only one I have to present to this world. They either accept him or reject him, and they can call me anything in the book they want to call me. It doesn't make any difference to me. Praise God. I believe with all my heart after 54 years, more so now than ever in serving God in this book, that he's the only way that you ever get saved and you end up in hell without him. I don't care what the scholars of today say. I don't care what someone may say they have better minds than I've got and better articulate than I do. It makes no difference. I know who I'm talking about when I tell you about Jesus Christ, because I have not learned it in my own intellect. I've learned it through the Holy Spirit of God that helped me understand this book about him. And I offer him to you as God does it through me. This church offers him to you as God does it through us. Let you know this is where we stand when it comes to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God that God placed in your body when you got saved is to tell you and teach you and me about who Jesus Christ is from Genesis to Revelation. So we'll have the sure foundation to present to this world. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, Easter is coming around, another week to set aside in this world. I thank you so much for the Bible that gives us these wonderful truths. I thank you, Lord, that we have the book that you preserved for our day, and it's flooded as the Holy Spirit desires to show who Jesus Christ is.
Holy Spirit, please help one see that. It's so easy in these days because of the way people understand and where they're at to get upset with just simple little things. Things that have no meaning whatsoever and miss out on things that have great meanings. I can say a phrase along the line and people leave and get upset and miss an hour of what I've been teaching about Jesus Christ. Please help us understand. Without the Holy Spirit of God, I'd never known who he was sitting on a church pew. Without you keeping your word about the Holy Spirit, Lord, coming in when we're saved, I'd never really known what you did for me and for all of us who trust Christ as Savior. Please help someone today. These people have been kind to listen. We're going a little over. I just pray you'd have your way now. Bless what's been said for your kingdom. And may I say even more so with John the Baptist, you must increase, let me decrease. For it's joy for me a joy to give and rejoice over the bridegroom as he collects his bride, the church, this out of eternity. Honor yourself today. Holy Spirit, honor Jesus. Father, honor your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.